Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
If you would, Caleb, go ahead and cue that video for me.
If we look to the answer as to why for so many years we achieved so much, prospered as no other people on earth, it was because here in this land, we unleashed the energy and individual genius of man to a greater extent than has ever been done before. Freedom and the dignity of the individual have been more available and assured here than in any other place on earth. The price for this freedom at times has been high, but we have never been unwilling to pay that price. Those who say that we're in a time when there are no heroes, they just don't know where to look. You can see heroes every day going in and out of factory gates. You meet heroes across a counter, and they're on both sides of that counter. There are entrepreneurs with faith in themselves and faith in an idea who create new jobs, new wealth, and opportunity. They're individuals and families whose voluntary gifts support church, charity, culture, art, and education. Their patriotism is quiet but deep. Their values sustain our national life. We must realize that no arsenal or no weapon in the arsenals of the world is so formidable as the will and moral courage of free men and women. We are a nation under God, and I believe God intended for us to be free. The crisis we're facing today does not require of us the kind of sacrifice so many thousands of others were called upon to make. It does require, however, our best effort and our willingness to believe in ourselves and to believe in our capacity to perform great deeds, to believe that together, with God's help, we can and will resolve the problems which now confront us. And after all, why shouldn't we believe that? We are Americans.
Our nation, shall we? Father, we just come before you. Lord, you know where this nation is at. God, you know. You know what you've called us to. Lord, you see this nation. And this nation is called specifically by you. I don't believe it's an accident that our symbol is an eagle. Lord, you see where this country is at. And you see what the enemy is trying to do. He's trying to establish unrighteousness. But as your church, we do as you commanded in your word. We come together with the greatest force that you've given us, and that is faith. We unite our hearts right now in prayer for this nation, for our president. Lord, for all the judges, the governors, the senators, the congressmen and women, the House of Representatives. Lord, we lift these up to you from the high court, the Supreme Court judges, down through all the lower courts, every place of authority, and we pray for them. Lord, we ask that by your grace and by your spirit and by your influence and the flowing of your anointing, your Holy Spirit, through the many bodies that you inhabit in this earth called the body of Christ, that you would speak, that you would touch, that you would influence by angels and by your body those in those positions, that there would be change, That there would be influence of light where darkness has reigned. There would be change in our government. There would be unity in our nation, Lord. That there would be an understanding that would come forth. An opening up of the realms of cloaking and darkness that the enemy has tried to cover up and cause disruption and destruction in this nation. To prevent us from accomplishing what you've called us to do. We command those things to be exposed. In the name of Jesus, you have no right here. We are one nation under God, the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, this morning on Veterans Day, Lord, we pray united in faith, unmoved by what the news says, unmoved by what evil men say. And we declare and pray for those evil men that they would have a Saul of Tarsus experience, that they would be shaken, that they would be knocked off from their pedestals and see you, Lord, as Lord. That out of what has been a pattern of life and a hard-pressed drive in a will and a purpose and a plan of hell, it would be derailed and vision and light would come from heaven. True repentance would be seen, and that Paul's would come forth in our political arenas, in our public arenas. Lord, in every area of major influence. Lord, from Wall Street to Hollywood, all the way through. And Father, we pray for the president. Lord, give him strength. Give him insight, we ask, in Jesus' name. Lord, make him as strong as only your hand can do. Encourage him today. Infuse him with your spirit and let others see the purpose of your kingdom, that it come to pass and they unite around it in Jesus' name. Everybody that agreed said, amen. Okay. We're having fun so far. Let's continue in our series this morning. On spirit wars, let's continue. We're going to talk about what we just did. So, did I forget anything? Okay. I just want to make sure I didn't forget anything. I will say this. We have started the women's bathrooms over there. So, thanks to Ron. Ron and I stripped everything out in there and then framed it up this week. So, we're moving right along there. So, that'll be good. But this morning, I want to continue in spirit wars. If you want to open to Ezekiel chapter 28, please. And I'm going to go back over some things I've already taught, but I believe the Holy Spirit has given me more understanding here that is really going to help us. We had a good time in corporate prayer this morning at 8:30 for the service. And I'm believing God that what we saw and what we experienced there will come out. And what I have written down will come out like it's supposed to. How many know words are almost, I mean, they are so significant. You say, well, what do words matter? The power of life and death is in your tongue. Don't think what we just prayed isn't happening. It's happening right now. In the spirit, there is no distance. Distance does not exist. We are touching heaven and earth at the same time. And you say, how can you do that? Because you are a spirit. You possess a soul and you live inside of a body. The only reason you can touch this earth, how many have noticed, is because you have a body. People say, oh, no. Yeah, lose your body. You won't be here. You'll be gone. Well, hopefully up. Okay. If not, we can fix that before the end of the service. But up is the direction you want. But you are a spirit. So when you pray, When you speak, if you are speaking the words of God from the Scripture, or if you're speaking the words of God by utterance of the Holy Spirit, it is as if God has a tunnel to flow through right into your situation, or into what the situation that you're praying or speaking about, because you are His body. Say it with me. I am His body. So I want to talk about this again this morning. Ezekiel chapter 28, and I'm going to start in verse 11. And I'm going to kind of take my time. Well, I'm going to take my time through this, so hang with me. We got 30 minutes. How many think you can get something that is just stout in 30 minutes? You know, I mean, it'll just stick with you till the day you throw your body off and go to heaven. And you'll be able to function in it. See, the Lord reminded me of this. We're not raising weaklings around here. These are the mighty men and women. You say, what about the other churches? Bless them. I hope they're doing the same thing. I can't speak for them. I can only speak for what God's called us to do. You know, David's mighty men were the brokest, most disheveled, dwelling in caves, dispersed from their homelands, had no hope. Come on, how many of you ever felt like that before? And then they band together by the Spirit of God, and what happens? They become giant killers. They're trained up. Now, theirs was a lot of natural war. They had spiritual, but ours is spiritual. And we're trained up spiritually. We're being trained up spiritually. We're being strengthened spiritually. We're being added to if we've been at it for a long time. And we're being given into if we're just fresh in it and growing up. Milk and meat, solid bread, spiritual food that is increasing us on all sides, so that the fruition, the true fruitfulness of the body of Christ can come forth in abundance. See, my primary job is not to do your praying for you. My primary job is to not to do the speaking of the word for you. My primary job is not to get in the middle of your situation and fix it for you. My primary job is to feed and deliver to you the proper tools and explanation by the Holy Spirit, so that you can pick up the weapons of your warfare, step into the dark places that are around you, begin to wield the sword of the Spirit in the midst of that, and put the devil on the run. Come on, stick it to him. That is my primary call. When any minister that's in those kind of positions, where they're an apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, and evangelist, is to train up the body of Christ to do the work of the ministry. See, what you feel when a preacher who's under the anointing is preaching, and preaching by the utterance of the Holy Spirit, people look at a person. But I'm just a vessel. I mean, if you could see in the Spirit, you would see that the Lord is the one doing the work. I'm just yielded. The same is true for you in your personal life. The Lord is the one who does the work. You're just yielded. Just yield. Let Him speak through you. Let Him business through you. Come on, let Him be husband and wife through. Come on, let Him be parent through you. Do you see that? So God's raising us up in order to defeat our enemy, in the sense of living in victory over him, because he's already defeated. But the enforcement of that defeat falls to the body of Christ, not in having to accomplish it, but in having to express it. Okay? So you say, what does that mean? That means God, in his great mercy and grace through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, has already positioned and equipped you to win. We attach to grace by faith and begin to operate out of the Spirit, or the supply of Jesus Christ, in our daily lives. And as we do, just in being. You know, I heard somebody say this years ago, and I stole it, and I've used it ever since. They said, we're not human doings. We're human beings. Yes, you're doing work, but why are you doing work? Because I was created with supply to work. The work of faith. I'm not earning it. I'm releasing what Christ earned for me. You say, that you don't have to say it like that. You do, because people think, well, I've got to get God interested in my situation. I've got to get him to try and, you know, get, I got to subpoena him over and over again to see if he'll come to my rescue. No, he sent Jesus as the voice and the picture of, I'm interested. And here you go. In fact, he's so interested that he did it while you were yet a sinner. So you were not giving him warm and fuzzies. I love him. I love him. I love him. I'm going. Yeah, we're going. Let's do this thing. And Jesus came. So in Ezekiel, we see this. This is that what we talked about, the law of double reference. So let's look at this. And you're going to see exactly, I'm believing that you will see exactly how the enemy is functioning in your life. How he's getting you to see things incorrectly. Moreover, verse 11, Ezekiel 28, verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, Thus says the Lord God, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardius, the topaz, and diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. In other words, he was a fancy-looking angel. The workmanship of your timbrels, and that word actually means tambourine. Isn't that interesting? The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes, which is like, pipes is like a groove or a socket. It's a setting as relating to jeweler's work. So it's talking about what he looked like. In other words, he was beautiful. He was absolutely magnificent in his creation. In other words, in what God had created him to be. And then it says this, it says, was prepared for you on the day you were created. So we know he was a created. He is a created being. Talking about when he was Lucifer, the angel. You were the anointed cherub, which is an angel, who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. Verse 15. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were what? Created. Till iniquity was found in you. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they might gaze at you. You defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities, by the iniquity of your trading. Therefore, I brought fire from your midst. It devoured you, and I turned you to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all who saw you. So let's look again at how Lucifer became Satan. Let's go back to verse 15. My first point this morning, iniquity, which is unrighteousness, was found in Satan. Verse 15 is where we see this. Now, I'm going to jump around a little bit in here, but as I was reading this, the Holy Spirit showed me this happened, then this happened, then this happened. And you'll see how they connect as we go. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. We see here that God makes the statement, iniquity was found in you. This tells me that God did not create the devil as the devil. The creator of something knows all things that are in what he created. They do not discover things in their creation. God did not put evil in the devil. God did not put evil in the devil. God did not put evil in the devil. You say you got a skip in your record. Yeah, I know. The CD scratched. God did not put evil in the devil. Okay? Now listen to me closely. God did not put evil in the devil. I can say this with absolute confidence because for God to put evil in the devil, he would have to be, it would have to be in him first. And we know from James 1:13, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted from God, for God is incapable of being tempted by what is evil, and he himself tempts no one. This tells me that God did not create the tempter. Satan, you're going to see it here in just a second. Satan took and used what God created him to be for selfish purposes. Now, we're going to see how this functions in our society, okay? So, let's go jump down. We were in verse 15. Let's go to verse 17. And here's my second point this morning. Here, we will see in verse 17 how iniquity was created. This is also how it is perpetuated. Okay, so when we read this, we're going to look at it. We're going to see not only how iniquity or unrighteousness or sin began, but we're also going to see how it's perpetuated. So not only we know that evil had a start, and how many have realized that evil is still going? Okay, so we're going to see how it started and then how it's perpetuated in this verse and then in a couple of other verses as well. Say it with me. I'm receiving revelation truth. I will see light. I will understand. Because I have the wisdom of God and the mind of Christ. You say, why do you do that? Because I got to get your faith with me so that my faith with you and then our faith together and then we can see it together. And move forward together. Amen. Verse 17. This is declared of Satan. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty, and that word means brightness. You corrupted. The word corrupted means perverted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they might gaze at you. So what do we see here? We see that Satan did this all to himself. He was not created to be the father of lies. He chose to be that way. He chose to be that way. You say, preacher, why is it so important that you hit this over and over again? Because there is so much teaching out there that somehow God is using the devil or in cahoots with the devil in what is going on in the earth. Can I ask you something? How are you going to have faith for healing if you think God gave it to you? How? Faith is single in focus. Doubt, by the definition of itself, has the word double in it. D-O-U-B. Double. How? What did God say to Peter when he began to sink? What did Jesus say to him? Why did you doubt, Peter? Why did you fear? What? Where did you lose your faith? He began to look at what? Waves and... So if you're looking at God and you think healer, or maybe he wants me sick, or he's the healer, or which is he? I don't know. I know I'm supposed to believe, but come on. This is why you have to establish in your mind who God is and then don't let go of it. Because it's your responsibility to hang on to the truth. Did you know that? So he says this. He says, your heart was lifted up. Satan's heart was lifted not because he was beautiful. Now, let me go back and read. Look at this. I want you to see this, okay? It says, your heart was lifted up because of your... And what did I say? I said, Satan's heart was lifted up not because he was beautiful. Well, Sean, you're contradicting the word. No, I'm not. Listen closely. You'll see it here. You still with me, right? Satan's heart was not lifted up because he was beautiful, but rather because he focused his attention on himself rather than God. In other words, come on now, stick with me. Satan worshiped the creation rather than the... You, as a human, cannot see yourself correctly and function correctly, even as a believer or not, without worshiping the Creator. You cannot have your focus on your... Come on. You see, and we're going to get into this, and I may repeat it, but I want you to see this here. The glory, splendor, and beauty of what God has created can only be properly understood and handled when the creation focuses and worships the Creator, God alone. Well, I'm a self-made man. No. You didn't make yourself. Were you inside your mother's womb going, knitting yourself together? Because the Bible says God knit you together in your mother's womb. Well, I did this and I did that and I did, and that's exactly what the devil started with. And that's how he got into the place of being so deceived that he thought, because he quit focusing on God. So if you're not looking at God, you're not seeing how big and strong he is. And if you're not seeing how big and strong he is, and all you're doing is looking at yourself, you're going to one day, like he did, look up and go, there is no God. I'm God. Have you ever heard people say that? I have. Can you imagine God in heaven looking down? And there's this guy, I'm God. And God's in heaven. He hears this, I'm God. God's in heaven going, uh-oh. We better send him somebody who knows me. That's called worshiping the creation and not the... This is how it got started. Come on, think about that. How does that impact and influence our world? Just that truth right there. Well, I'm not a man. I want to be a girl. Not really, but I'm using this for illustration purposes. I would never make a decent girl. Never. I got way too much beard. Do you know genetically there are markers in you that say male or female? When people say, well, why do people think they are? Okay, let's read on. Let's look at some more here in this verse, and we'll talk about that here in a second. Satan's wisdom or knowledge was perverted because he sought his own glory or splendor. In other words, what did Satan do? Satan was a created being. He was created with good. But he began to take the skill set, the design of who he is, the makeup of who he is, and he began to think of ways to, and rather than honoring God and who made him, and honoring God and what he made him to be, and looking to the Lord in for direction and clarity on how he's supposed to function in the kingdom of God realm, he began to look at everything that was made, and he was impressed by it, and rightfully so, because, I mean, anything God creates is impressive. But he forgot to stay in the place of focus in worship. Or in this case, I shouldn't even say forgot. He chose. And I will just say this. There's a whole lot more choosing going on in humanity than what the church likes to acknowledge. He chose to take those details of who he was and the features of who he was and begin to study himself in an unhealthy way without the acknowledgement of God as head of all things. And he began to think, look at me and look at my wisdom and look what I can come up with and look what I can create and look what I can, how I can influence the wisdom that I have. And he began to twist it and take it and began to use it as a weapon against God instead of for God. And nothing has changed from the day that was discovered and judged. Nothing. He's doing the exact same thing. He is functioning in this world's authorities and systems. This is why prayers who really know how to pray are so important. Because you're functioning in a realm that isn't seen, but yet you can see its effect in everything seen. In other words, there are authorities in the spirit. There are structures and governments and things in the natural. But what do they reflect? They reflect the spiritual. And so the enemy is behind the scenes. He has a plan. He is doing certain things in influence, in perverted wisdom, to cause his plan to come to pass in the earth. Does that make sense? That might have been a little deep for some of you, but don't throw it out. Just hang on to it. You can look at it later. To pervert. I'm being serious here. The word to pervert means to change something so that it is no longer what it was or should be. Okay? It's to change something. You know, truth is simple. If truth supposedly is complicated, you don't understand it yet. Because truth is simple. Watch. Did you take a cookie from the cookie jar? Well, I did, but the reason why was because I know you told me I wasn't supposed to take it, but, I couldn't resist it. There was the smells, and then Mom was cooking the cookies, and I saw them there, and they looked so good, I know I wasn't supposed to, but, the truth is simple. Did you take a cookie from the cookie jar? Yes. Perverted wisdom is all the other stuff. Well, I couldn't help it. I just felt like I had to have a cookie. And I can't control how I feel. Were you told not to take a cookie? Yes. That's the end of the conversation. You realize God's not going to sit on his throne at the end of all this thing, and people are going to stand up there and go, page 27 of why I didn't believe in you. This is not going to happen. He looks through you like glass. He can reach inside you, pull up your heart, and show it to you. And he'll go, see, you lied to yourself there, 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 and there. And people will look at, in that case, I've studied some of this stuff. I've watched some different things about it. There are people that have died and stood before the Lord, and this person said, I knew I was going to hell. The Lord hadn't even said anything yet. He said, I didn't believe in any of it. Now, he came back. Of course, he got saved. You would, too. He came back, and now he's a preacher. But he stood there. It wasn't even a question. There was no debate. People act like there's going to be a popular vote in heaven. No, there's a wall in heaven. It's prophetic. There's a wall there. It's called the glory of God. Amen. There's a hedge. God's not in heaven going, maybe those people are right in what they're thinking about. Or maybe that is a truth over there. He's not confused. There's one truth. Truth is what? Simple. Satan basically said, I know God created me this way, and for this purpose, he was supposed to cover. Right? That's what the scripture says. What did he do? Rebelled. Started a fight. But I will decide, he said this, basically, I will decide for myself what I want to be and do. Satan stepped out of righteousness. This should give us a good picture into why people are the way they are today. Well, I can think too. I have my own ways. I have my own thoughts. Well, I've read about other religions. You know, I have knowledge. We have knowledge now that we didn't have in Jesus' day. You know, we have science. Right, science has cured everything. Come on. I'll just tell you this. You can't even have science without truth first. You cannot understand cancer without God revealing to you what it is. And I know God's working through these areas to help humanity all the time. I totally understand that. I'm not against that at all. What I'm against is the idea of kicking God out of everything. People say, I got into it with somebody a while back. I just shouldn't say got into it. I got into a discussion with them on Facebook about whether or not ministers should preach or speak on politics. And I messaged them. I said, you know, it's a good thing our founding fathers didn't want to keep God out of government. Come on. And people say, yeah, but the government, they're going to be able to do this, that, and the other. And they're going to be able to, you know, there should be separation of church and state. How are you going to separate what's in your heart from anything you do? Come on, give me a break. Besides that, the church didn't build the wall. The government did. So stay on your side, Bubba. Right? Perversions, twisted things, changing something from what it, this is how Satan became. All right, lastly, here we see Satan became, this is point three, the father of lies, and also how he led a third of the angels with him. Verse number 16. So we were just at 17, now go up one to verse number 16. This is where we see how he became the father of lies and how he led away a third of the angels. I never understood this. This is the crux of the message this morning, okay? This is it. If you can get this and see this, which you can because we're believing for it, we ask God for it, and we're expecting it. It will help you immensely. Verse 16, by the abundance of your trading, and that word trading means traffic and merchandise, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Now, that word trading bugged me. Oh, but what do you mean trading? What is he doing? You know, I got these five baseball cards. Will you give me your two baseball cards? I mean, I'm thinking about this. I'm like, trading. What is trading? Lord, what does trading mean? And I'm praying about it. I'm looking up the root words. And I looked up the root words as far as the Hebrew goes, and it is traffic or merchandise. Another word is commerce. And I'm not getting an answer, and I'm not getting an answer. And I'm like, nope, that's not it. And I'm like, I'm not giving up. So I get up, go get a drink of water, go back, pray, look at it, get up. Come on. Stay after it, dig. How many know if you're going to find nuggets, you got to dig in the mountain? You got to dig. And so I thought, I'll go to, how many have ever heard of visual thesaurus? Have you ever heard? Wow, nobody. Well, a few people, probably that I've told to. Visual thesaurus, look it up sometime. It's called visual thesaurus. You can punch in a word, and what it does is it gives you that word, and then it spider webs the words off of it. And in between, there's little dots, and they give you connecting descriptions, how the words connect. Does that make sense? So it's really cool. So I use it sometimes. Sometimes it's helpful. But I looked up this word, trading. It means to traffic. It means merchandise or commerce. And when I looked it up in the thesaurus, it was connected to conversation. They're connected to conversation. Listen, one of the descriptions that connect the two words is a social exchange, especially of opinions or attitudes. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within and you sinned. Another sentence to describe this was, it also stated, the use of speech for informal exchange of views, ideas, or information. You say, what does that have to do with what he did? First, he developed and had a conversation within about becoming God. In the process of meditating on those words and thoughts, there was a true wisdom that began to become a perverted wisdom. He took what God had enabled him with in wisdom and understanding, in creation, in intelligence, and began to use it for his own good. Come on, how many have an internal conversation that goes on inside of you? You better make sure that's a godly one. You say, what is this going to lead to? Next week, we'll talk about taking every thought captive. Why? Because you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Because no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Because you're the head and not the tail. You're above only and not beneath. Come on. But if you listen to the trafficker of lies, and he's able to influence you with the abundance of violence, which the word violence, I'll just tell you, the word violence means, it's kamas, and it's in the vines. It means basically the disruption of the divinely established order of things. He became filled with violence. He began to have conversation. He began to think and share and have ideas of his own about what should really be taking place here. I should be on that throne up there. I should be God. I should be the one that's in charge. Because, I mean, look at me. Look at me. Look how smart I am. Look at my tambourine. Look at my bevel. Look at the stones that I've made. Look how beautiful I am. And you forget. And he forgot, or he chose to reject his creator, worship the creation, become filled with violence. Then he was trading with that. Trading with it. He was what? He was sharing ideas and thoughts and opinions. What was he using? He was using his beauty. He was using his wisdom that was now twisted, the perverted wisdom, to begin to whisper into other angels' ears. And then he was able to what? Deceive one third of the angels. And they were all cast out with him. And now on the earth, what took place in Genesis chapter 3 when Adam and Eve ate of the tree? Did Satan run into the garden with these big long claws and sharp horns and fangs, breathe fire all the way around, burn up some vegetation and go, eat the fruit? I should like write a movie about that or something. Eat the fruit now, Adam. Eat it, Eve. No, what did he do? He traded commerce. He trafficked. He delivered lies. Now, you are God's beautiful creation. You have wisdom. You have the ability to think. You have the ability to imagine. And the enemy will come to you and go, here. And that's why you have to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Because remember what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. I fear that as Eve was deceived by the serpent, you will be deceived from the simplicity of the gospel of Christ. In other words, I'm not confused. I'm not depressed. I'm not under bondage. I am a male. You said, how do you know? Because it's simple in Christ. Well, you're being hard. You're being unloving. No, friend. If I don't follow the simplicity of this truth and then share the simplicity of this truth, do you know what Satan Come on, you guys all know what he does to people. A group of people in our nation are so in love with themselves that they'll run around with female organs on their head, a design of it, protesting that they want to remain pro-choice. And they'll threaten to kill the person that could take that away. Why? Because murder's in their heart already. So why? And you say, well, what needs to happen? There needs to be a revelation of the gospel, the light, the truth of Jesus Christ that sweeps over these people. No, we're not going to go in there with bayonets and take out all the evil. You know, and I'm going to end with this. The shooting that happened in California. You know, sometimes I'll listen to the like people comment, the talk radio or different things on these things. And I'll hear people that believe in God, at least they say they do, and they're probably doing the best they can with what they know. They could know more if they wanted to, though. And they'll make comments like, I just don't know how anybody could do that. I do. See, we have to see Satan for who he is and expose him. And as we continue in this, you're going to see his subtlety, but he's the one that's feeding you the thought that you're never going to amount to anything. He's the one that's feeding you the thought that that nobody will ever love you. He's the one that's trying to feed you the thought that you're not worth being here. He's the one that's trying to feed you the thought that this is too hard for you, you can't make it. He's the one that's trying to feed you the thought that you are not what God created you to be and that you're worthless. He's the one trying to feed you the thought that, you know, everything's going to fall apart and you're going to be torn to shreds by your circumstances. He's the one feeding the thought. But see, he doesn't want you to know who he is. So he'll even have preachers preach that Satan really, you know, that's just kind of a symbolic type thing. There isn't really a devil. You say that that's preached from pulpits. He's the one that is feeding the thought that destruction and everything is going to fall apart. You can't have what God told you can have. Why? You don't deserve. You are scum. Remember these 20 sins you did 53 years ago? He never forgets. God already forgot. And that's when, because see, that's what he trades in. That's what he commerces in. That's when, in the middle of that, you stand up and go, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. This is one of his favorites. Do you even know how that's going to happen? Here's my answer. Sure don't, but I know who's going to do it. Do you know what to do in this? How are you going to fix this situation? I don't know right now, but I know this. I'm not going to fear. You say it's that simple. That is spiritual warfare, my friend. And as we saw Jesus do, you can wear the devil out with the word of God. And he'll go, it's too much. I got to get out of here. The Bible says Satan left him for a season. How many would like that? Then you better start speaking the word. We're going to look at next week's strongholds. The Bible says that our weapons demolish them. It's powerful. Come on, stand. Let's pray. Did you get anything? This will be available right away online. While after, if you go to Facebook, you can watch it there. We'll do our best to get it up online for the audio. If it helps somebody, share it with them, guys. If you know somebody who's hurting or who's having issues with the enemy or you don't know, share the message. Get it out there. That's why we live stream. It isn't so, it's so we can get the word out. That's what it's for. Amen? Come on, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for helping us this morning. God, we couldn't do any of this without you. Lord, your utterance, your knowledge, your wisdom, it's everything to us. You are everything to us. And we give you all the praise, honor, and glory for anything that is good that comes about. Any good, all the good that's coming about. Lord, all the freedom that's coming to people. We give you the glory for it. And we thank you for it. We praise you for it. You are our source. You are our King. You are our resurrected Savior. You are our deliverer and our healer. You are everything. We thank you for it. We believe you. Lord, we will purpose by your grace, and we will do it. We commit to it, not to be hearers only, but to be doers of your word as well. And as we do, we know we will be blessed in our doing. So we thank you for your word and your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, God bless you guys. Don't forget about Wednesday night and Friday night and youth group and women's and all the stuff that's going on. You go to the website, faithfamilybillings.com. It's all on there.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.